Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, a Star Wars story, one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I am John Mathot, creator of the Star Wars parody Twitter feed, Ordinary Star Wars.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
For minute 19 starts off with Jyn Erso confirming, yes, she is going to Jedha. And it ends a minute later with Cassian ordering Jyn to give it to him.
Ordering some gin. Did you guys ever bump on that Jedha sounded so much like Jedi?
We were just talking about that. That made me also notice, because it came up that, you know, Cassian is basically just Calrissian with a couple of letters removed. And then I just also realized that he's Cassian Andor. So it's like Calrissian Andor. It's just like they are just like getting like Star Wars names and just like making some, you know, scratching out a couple of, you know, letters. Right. And
that's funny because this takes it on a little different branch here, is that the U-Wing has accents of all of the other Star Wars ships. Like it has that kind of ring of like kind of cushions that the Falcon has. Mm-hmm. It has the same canopy and little ZZ symbol as the Snowspeeder, and it has like the X-wing engines. It's kind of like in the same ballpark as the names.
Yeah, I actually had in my notes that it looks like a X-wing and Snowspeeder had a baby together.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, you don't want to watch it happen.
No.
Do I?
It's very loud, very loud.
Yeah.
Well, I do have an answer to your question.
What was my question?
About Jedha.
Oh, okay.
And Jedi.
That was his question.
My question. Hello.
Oh,
I'm
that's
here,
right. Yeah. That was your question.
Yeah. John's sitting right there.
I'm sorry. I don't have an answer to your
my
question.
My mic is up here.
Okay. Jedha is a planet with a long history having to do with the Force, and the Kyber crystals obviously come from there.
Yes, yes, yes.
And according to the Star Wars Rogue One Ultimate Visual Guide, people aren't sure whether the Jedi got their name from the planet Jedha, or they say more likely the planet Jedha got its name from the Jedi. So there is a Jedi-Jedha connection.
There's so many
songs about it.
I like that the idea that they could have gotten their name from the location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people from Jedha are the Jedi. You know what I mean? I like that.
And we saw there was that big fallen statue.
That's
of,
true.
Of a Jedi.
Also true.
Is that, does it say in the book whether it's a fallen statue? I still think they built it lying down so you could see it from space.
Okay. I will double check. I don't think there's anything about
it. You go read a book. John and I are going to do it.
Which also reminds me of like how Tatooine was named after the, you know, the little town, I guess, where they were. Right. I don't know if they had the name for it at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't the... going back to what they're reusing names and sound alikes in this, and this classic George Lucas bag of just having, like, you know, at some point he came up with, like, you know, went into the desert and came up with 200 names for things, and then just keep kind of like shuffling and reassigning them as he goes on. So I think that Tatooine was called Hoth at first. Hoth.
Yes.
And then
why do you keep saying Hoth?
Me?
Yeah.
Didn't that come up recently? Because Lucas said that.
I think. He did?
Because they say Hoth in the movie.
Right.
Is that like
the Hoth system.
Right.
It's almost like the American movie, where like Coven right. instead Coven. Of
Yeah.
or Leia.
Yeah. or Han.
So I will respect your decision to call it Hoth.
It's not mine.
Okay.
it's yeah. the creators.
Yeah. So what were we talking about? Whether or not that statue is visible from space.
Right.
That's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get the exactly what we were talking about yesterday with the sophisticated yet childlike K2SO. Like, this is another good mm-hmm. example of him being like,
yeah.
because he's like telling. Not first, he's like, you know, as we said, that's a. You know, that's a terrible idea. You know, I think so, and so does Cassian.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you know, kids don't have that filter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would just say so. They're like, oh, this is, you know, this food you made me is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
I don't like that they attributed his speaking his mind to it from his reprogramming.
Yeah.
Seems unnecessary. Like, it. We've had other sassy droids before. It's not like this is the, you know.
Yeah, they're all fine until you wipe their memories and then, oh,
yeah.
you know, then right. they turn into weirdos.
But yeah, I do like that line where he says, I think so, and so does Cassian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then also he's like, what do I know? I'm just a smart,
you know. Yeah, my specialty is only, what was it, strategic yeah. analysis, which is exactly what the, it's a good line. I hadn't noticed it before.
Yeah.
So do we think that Jacob Javits is he the Rogue One here? Is he the Rogue One here? Is he going on orders? Did he discuss it with the other rebel leaders to go tell Cassian to take out Galen if they find him? Or is that like his own?
That is his MO. Initiative? I mean, he said that before about Jin. You know, maybe that's just how he solves all of his problems.
Right. But is he? Do you think that like after everybody left the room, they huddled up and he was like, "All right, so we're gonna tell him to kill him, right?"
He seems like a company man. He probably would have consulted with them. That was probably everyone's decision.
That's tough. Yeah, we don't know. He could be like I know more than the than the civilians, you know.
Or there's also a like plausible deniability kind of chain of command thing where he's like,
"That's true."
He probably said something to the effect of like, all right, so we want to make sure that, you know, like Galen Erso is no longer involved with this project, right? And they're like, yep, mm-hmm. okay.
We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
That it would be really bad if Galen Erso got into the wrong hands, right?
Yeah, because I can't, like Space Jimmy Smits can't be party to that as a senator, mm-hmm. right? He can't be like, yep, go there and kill him. Like,
so you think like Mon Mothma and Space Jimmy Smits left the room, and then they're like, okay, you guys, we're leaving, and you guys can figure out the rest of the plan, and just feel like, you know, like you said,
it depends, though. It is war, so you know, everything's on the
it
table.
It's a period of civil war,
yeah. mm-hmm. and they've been at it for like 20 years now, so I'm sure they've crossed a lot of.
It's a long period,
a lot of Rubicons that they did not think that they would have crossed at this point.
Well, yeah, maybe also that's why General Merrick and General Dodonna were quiet. Then they.
Like, I think Dodonna was.
Else left the room. Then he's like, "We're going to kill him, right?" Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Oh, good, good. Yeah. I got to absolutely. Back to King of Thrones.
Dodonna was just, you know, unhappy with the length of his beard at that point.
Right.
It's a little on the
it
short
was short
side.
When the
it
scene
was on the
started.
Short side. Yeah. He's not happy. It's that. It's that. You know, that benchmark. Thing in between benchmarks.
Speaking of which, so
speaking of beard benchmarks.
No, speaking of assassin of him telling him to go kill Erso.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't read Captain Cashew's reaction. Was he kind of like okay, I'll do it, this is just what I do? Or it almost could look like he was almost like sad that he's like, well, this is who I am now. They just tell me to go kill people, and that's like without compunction. He's mm-hmm. not like, listen, this is gonna be really hard. He's just like, oh yeah, go kill that guy. And you know,
right.
So yeah.
I read it as that he felt like, okay, strategically, like, since we want to keep Jyn Erso in place, we want her on our side, I don't want to have to carry that in my head, knowing that, I mean, I guess maybe that's his job, obviously, and mm-hmm. he did it quite easily in the beginning of the film. But I kind of felt that it was like that he was kind of taking, not really taking a liking to Jyn, but kind of realizing her importance.
Mm-hmm.
And that it seemed to be like, didn't help him. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't help his cause, like, to focus on that.
Assuming that he would, like, he's doing the math and realizing that if they get there and he kills her father, she'll be upset about that, and he might have to kill her too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and so it probably is all this adding up and being like,
the next thing you know, you got a bit. Bury two grave, two bodies, and you know, what are you doing?
Then you want me to bring back a double-double from, you know, like, I can't be taking fast food across the galaxy.
Speaking of which, Cassian's costume reminds me of Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. That brown jacket.
Yeah, very true.
So it's kind of a weird stealing back from the people who stole from Star Wars.
And he also only has two cough drops, I noticed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where Javits has five cough drops.
It's an interesting insignia that we haven't, think we've seen before.
Well, you know that General Draven is sponsored by Purina, so he has to.
Yes.
That's from the original trilogy, right?
Yeah.
People with the red.
I think.
The rebel insignias. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we saw the Purina things in Star Wars as much.
We did.
Empire. Hoth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Hoth.
Hoth.
I beg your pardon. So let's see what else we got. I was thinking about the plot of the film.
Okay.
And would it be stronger if we hadn't already seen Saw Gerrera and kind of know, like, if we just kept hearing about him and then we finally meet him as opposed to, like, seeing him at this point?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if we had seen Obi-Wan prior to Luke meeting up with him. You know, you hear Obi-Wan Kenobi, oh, we have to find him. And then it's like, we kind of already know who he is.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
so you mean just that little. From the beginning, where he pops his head in the hidey hole and is just like, my child!
Yeah, that part? That would be okay.
No, that is okay. So wait, so what do you... you mean
either... If they're going to show him, only show him in that flashback from 13 years ago, because you can see, has he become crazy? Although, the fact isn't that you that don't what, even... See, what?
Isn't that what does happen?
Well, no, you see the whole...
when he helps save Jin, you know, at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I was thinking of the later scenes.
But to your point, I can see where you're getting. I see where you're getting at, because that's what they did for sure with Obi-Wan. And then it's almost like a mislead of you know, you keep hearing about this General Kenobi, like, oh, yes, an Obi-Wan, blah, blah, blah. And then you meet him, he's like, oh, hello there. And he's just this kindly hermit. So I kind of liked the mislead of that. So, it makes him more of a mysterious, oh my God, what is this guy going to look like if they're talking about him like this?
Yeah. Right. I guess they do kind of milk it, because there's that scene coming up where he kind of talks to someone and you don't actually see his face, I don't think. You just see him kind of being mysterious. But so I would ditch the whole, prologue personally.
It'd be interesting. Do we not need it? At all? Is everything else covered?
Well, I mean, I guess it establishes the Krennic Galen relationship.
Which is done in a flashback more later. Right.
Okay, so if one of the listeners could just do a quick re-edit of the entire film.
Right.
You joke.
Pop it in the package and mail it to the P.O. Box in New York.
Yeah. There you go.
One of our listeners is a film editor, and I told him, like, oh, I would love to do The Last Jedi, but just get rid of all the Holdo stuff. Just get, you know.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, I can do that. And I think he did version of it with that.
Wow.
Just as an experiment to see how much of he could cut out of it and have the movie still work. I never actually watched it. So,
do you guys remember the whole Phantom Editor thing?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I actually got to be a part of that because I lived not that far from the Man's Chinese Theater. And I was following all of it, you know, diligently online. And then they said, oh, you know, you could actually get the copy. So I had a terrible, terrible cold. And I was like, really just like flat on my back in bed. And I think it was a weekday. I should have been at work, but I was sick. And then I read about that and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go do that. So I hauled myself out of bed and walked on down to the Man's Chinese Theater. And sure enough, there was, let's see if I remember this correctly. That you looked for someone who was dressed in a Star Wars costume. I can't remember what costume it was. And they would give you a plastic spoon. And then you had to go around the corner and give that plastic spoon to another person in a Star Wars costume. And then you would get the disc.
Wow.
And I have that disc.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It really felt like it was just this... You know, this total spy situation. Yeah. It was a gas.
That's how they should have sold Rogue One. You should have had to go buy it from someone around.
Yeah, that's how you can get your ticket. Yeah,
right. And anytime you need a copy of it, somebody has to, like, they hand it down a chain of people with, like, closing doors and handing it through. Then
Darth Vader shows up and you're like, ah!
That's some intense marketing there.
Yeah. So what did you think of it, of the Phantom Menace?
I thought, there was only so much that he could do. I thought it was, I was pleasantly impressed with the times where he could seamlessly take out Jar Jar. But there were moments like, oh, I wish he could have taken this. Oh, no, he can't because there's music and sound effects. And, there's only so much you can do with the off-the-shelf copy.
Yeah.
But just kind of like all of the fanfare. It's almost like what you were just talking about, like with Obi-Wan and Saw, that there was such a build up to it and such a mystique that when it actually happened, like in actually getting the disc itself was probably the least interesting part of it.
Yeah.
But it was very cool to watch. It was very cool to watch. And I did watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that those things happen. I'm a fan of fan edits, but not. I don't like it when people do things like this is the way it should be. Like I like it when they're just like, oh look, I
check
did this.
This out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like great, that's awesome. I everybody should have fun and do stuff like that. But if you can't, but then don't be like, no, this is the real way that it should be.
Yeah, like so, the people, like God, the sour grapes of the people who like. Well, they got like an inordinate amount of signatures for people who wanted to reshoot like Game of Thrones or something. Like, oh man, that's a lot of sour grapes.
Yeah. Yeah. The campaign to remake The Last Jedi.
Yeah. That was the other one.
To redo the ending of Game of Thrones campaigns, I'm sure had a lot of the vein on that is pretty solid between the people, the people who were involved in both of those quote unquote movements. But yeah, it's a,
Game of Thrones should be like Clue, where depending on which version you watch, there's a totally different ending for each one. Yet another question I have been asking everyone this season is, so we saw Galen Erso go into hiding. We know Yoda goes into hiding. Luke Skywalker goes into hiding. Obi-Wan goes into hiding. If you were going to become a recluse, like a la one of them, which, what biome would you want to live in? What type of environment?
A Star Wars biome or an Earth biome?
Either.
Well, I guess they're kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like unless you're going to even change the. Yeah, completely poisonous gas planet where I'd live for about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
It's funny because Obi-Wan chose his because he needed to be near Luke, but Yoda. Well, I mean, they probably all chose them, but Yoda. It's interesting that Yoda chose that Dagobah. I'm not answering the question exactly. I'm trying to circle my way back to my own answer.
Is the magic tree force thing still canon as why Yoda chose that planet?
Or did he create that?
Oh, he created it. I don't know.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. It seems like he could have created it. I mean, he could create that kind of force sensitivity around that area. And, it's just giving him a line of BS when he's saying, like, oh, that place, whatever.
Tell me what you think when you come out.
Fill out this card.
Exile. I guess it would also depend under which conditions I would be exiled. If it's like a Walter White, Jesse Pinkman situation, then I'd probably have to avoid a large metropolitan area. But it would be really cool to, be in a, kind of cosmopolitan city.
Yeah.
I really like large cities, and that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say one of my favorite areas of California is Carmel by the Sea. Mm-hmm. Which there's a Clint Eastwood movie called Play Misty for Me, which the movie takes place in Carmel. And it's, so you have the ocean, it's kind of misty, there's a lot of conifer trees, it's beautiful. I think it would probably have to be some kind of like, misty seaside area.
So probably closer to Ahch-Two, right? The planet that Luke lives on, and that's probably the closest one.
Yeah, I'd say that was probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Or isn't there a...
It was mist, there was a lot of mist in that.
No, it's not too misty. I was thinking about where they land with the stuff that needs to be refined. The refinery in Solo. That's not misty enough. That's a little deserty
beach. Yeah. I think they had like
the empty nest planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. They had an ocean there, but it was mostly very sand. It seemed very sandy and Like a lot of dry brush.
Mm. You're looking for Pacific Northwest, it sounds
yeah,
like.
I'm thinking that, yeah.
What about Kazook? You like a Kazook?
A Kazook?
Yeah. There you go. What do you think about that one? Wookiee homeworld.
That would be, I think there would be, I mean, it's this. I would answer that the same way as like when I play it in Star Wars Battlefront. I would just fall. I would just fall off of tall things and get squished. Yeah,
that's true. That's probably.
Yeah. Unless, you know, it depends on the availability of vines, because I guess you can swing on a vine. Yeah. But
Art Carney lives there, right? In this holiday special?
You just gave me a mental image of Art Carney swinging from vines, and I'm eternally grateful.
And B. Arthur as well.
Yeah, I mean, is that on planet, his outpost?
I don't know. Or you've probably seen it more than I have, so you should probably answer that one.
I think, I don't know.
He must at least have an office there to or you think he just lands his ship and interacts?
You know, it might be, off-world and then just goes, deliveries and splits.
That's his address for tax purposes.
Right, yeah.
It's a very, like, 1950s setup. Like, the milkman comes to the door. Hey, I'm the junk man here to sell you some old supplies. So,
got a groomer.
Ouch.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I'm forgetting some planets that that have been in there, I think. There's a perfect spot for you. We'll find
one. I mean, like, probably budget? Like the land, you know, like, the clone planet where there was all the...
Kamino.
Mm. There's got to be... Well, I don't know if there is land in Kamino, but if there is some land in Kamino, maybe that was it.
You wouldn't want to live on a... Like
on a floating platform?
Yeah, on a thing like that?
I do not. Short answer, no. Uh-huh. Longer answer,
it's a little too misty.
I was a little too and it's I always wondered how they grounded that, you know, or at least what the explanation of the mechanics of it, how like that thing is just rock solid in the middle of probably a giant ocean.
It's only 14 feet deep, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
No diving.
Yeah.
No splashing, no diving.
The Kamino, that bird, that creature, that would be my steed of choice. If I had to pick a Star Wars monster to ride, that would be the one.
He's got a lot. Yeah, he seems to have like a long, flat back. You know, you wouldn't fall off. You know,
and
once
plus
again,
you can go dive right into the water and keep going
and drown.
Well, just like Aquaman.
Yeah,
I assumed I have some kind of. It's fun while it lasts.
Well, you could jam that little thing in your mouth like the Jedi.
The Jedi jammer.
But I think that the careening into the ocean would probably, you know, break your neck, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd probably have to do it on a more slow descent.
Or you'd have to, like, get a helmet.
This is already sounding
Yeah, I know. This is expensive. Yeah.
Plus, it rains there all the time, it seems like. All right, then. So we'll find you a location to which to relocate.
Yep, like Carmel. Yes. And watch Play Misty for me. It's quite good.
But you like caramel?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Mm. all right, then. So
I don't hate everything.
We found it. All right, everyone. John, thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
You got one more episode in you?
I'm coming back tomorrow.
All right.
Like it or not.
You can stay on our couch. How about that?
Yay.
While he's doing that, you should go to Star Wars Minute. Go on the internet. First of all, and then go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, where we have all sorts of cool designs that you can put on t-shirts and mugs and magnets and tapestries and pillows and hoodies and onesies and baseball tees. Hoodies and baseball tees. Yes, all sorts of fun stuff. So yes, go check that out at StarWarsMinute.com/merch, and we'll be checking you out tomorrow on another brand new Star Wars Minute.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.